Say good morning to everyone here this morning, sitting in church this morning, and thought went through my mind, I was like, aren't we glad that we have young folks? When a lot of them are missing, it seems like they're just part of church that's not here. And so we're glad for all of you young folks that are here, but we're thankful that we have children and young people in our congregation. For message this morning, I want to consider a very familiar Psalms, Psalms 1. I'd like to look at that Psalms this morning for a message. Not so long ago, I was impressed with the thought from this Psalms that's in the first verse. The first word in the book of Psalms is blessed. And I'd like to read the Psalms at this time, and then we will look at the Psalms this morning for a message. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I guess what drew me to this Psalms was the first verse said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The comparison here between a godly person and a person that walks after his own lusts and desires. And as we all know that in today's world, the mentality in the world is so often to express yourself and be who you are. Let people know who you are. And oftentimes that is in relation to very sinful thoughts and very sinful manners of life. And how that is so to the Christian is so sinful. But here it talks about blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he realizes that there is a choice. And I believe as a godly person looks at this psalm, he realizes that all of us have sinful tendencies and sinful desires. And there's many verses in scriptures that point that out. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'm not sure what all that way is, but I believe in my mind it can be many different ways that seem right, but are wrong. What are some principles we see in Psalms 1? I believe there's a number of them, and I have five written down here. First of all, it's obvious that there are two paths in life. There are two paths to take. There is a choice of our own that affects our life today and our eternal destiny. We can see that in this Psalms. I believe also it is implied in verse 1, that with whom and with what we associate with has an effect on who we become. We can't minimize the influence that others can have on our lives. Even though we are responsible for ourselves, yet but with whom and with what we associate with does have an effect. Also, I believe in verse 1, it talks about the progression of sin. The person that starts down this road of sin, the words walketh, standeth, and sitteth, I believe all have a progressive thought. When you, first of all, you walk, and then you stand, and then you sit. It talks about, to me, it speaks of when you walk, you associate with, you go along with. When you stand, you spend some time there. And when you sit there, you are in the presence of, and you're staying there. And then finally, the last is the blessed state of the godly, and also the destruction of the wicked. If you look at the definition of this word blessed, it means happiness and or perpetual happiness. And obviously, we understand that it's more of a happiness than just we are happy that today is a sunny day or a nice day. It goes much deeper than that. It's a happiness that never changes. I believe it's a happiness that only comes from God. It's a contentment and a joy that does not go away. Also, I believe that the word blessed would indicate the blessing of God and the approval of God on a person's life. And we want to look at ways this morning that I believe this Psalms brings out that we can be blessed, our lives can be blessed by God. And as we think of that, to think about God blessing our lives should be the ultimate goal and the desire of each one here. I believe it is. I have several points here that I believe that this Psalms brings out that I want to look at in ways that our lives will be blessed by God. And the first one is simply our choices. You know, to choose the right and reject the wrong. It's obvious that the psalmist here was making that very clear. The person that is blessed by God. And in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he gave them this choice. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The reality is that we can choose which path we go on in life. And it's up to us on which path we choose. In Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. If you read Psalms 32, it was a psalm that David wrote, and I believe it was his own testimony when he committed that horrible sin, and he realized how awful sin can be in captivating a person. But he realized the blessedness of choosing the right and the forgiveness that comes as we acknowledge our sin and choose the right. I believe God has designed it that he receives much honor and glory by those who willingly and deliberately choose him above the other alternative, above this the way of the ungodly that is stated in verse 1. In Matthew 11, verse 6, Jesus is speaking here, and he said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as I pondered that verse in relation to this Psalms, and I was wondering what all Jesus meant by that. And obviously, in my mind, he was meaning the identifying with him and being unashamed of who he was and what he stood for. How often is it when we face things in life, when we come up against, maybe we're in a certain crowd, and in verse 1 becomes very real, doesn't it? He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are we swayed by those around us that do not follow Christ? Are we influenced? Are we ashamed to identify and to stand up for Christ and to be different and to show them that there is a different way? I believe here in verse 1, to receive the counsel of the ungodly, this word ungodly simply means those that are morally wrong. And I was thinking about how do you and I that want to follow Christ, how do you and I let a light that is clear, that shows people the other way to live, the way for God? And there are many things we face every day in life that very practical ways that give evidence of the way we're on. And as we look around us, we realize that, you know, many of us, probably a lot of us, believe that we are not wealthy. We aren't, and it's all a matter of comparison, of who we compare ourselves with. But I had to wonder, as we think of ungodly counsel and in the many things that we face in life, you know, there's much teaching out there, many influential people out there that give a lot of advice on how to manage yourself, your time, your money, all those kind of things. And I don't know if I have a lot of advice on that, but there are several things that I believe as we think about our possessions, what does God really say about the ways that we should manage that? And in the way I relate to these things, which category do they fall under? Do they fall under the counsel of those that are thinking about themselves? Those that want everything for themselves, those that are ungodly, does it fall under the category of how Christ wants me to relate to these things in my life? We understand that when the woman came and gave her 2 pence, what Jesus said about her, that she gave more than all the rest of those that gave even more value, yet she gave it all. And there's a lot of verses that we could bring out in relation to our finances and in relation to our possessions. And that could be a subject all of its own. But I want to just notice a few verses. In Mark 10, verse 25, Jesus is speaking here. And it's a very familiar verse. But he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We see here that Jesus is warning against riches. 1 Timothy 6:10, I believe this is key for a lot of how we deal with our possessions. It's, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. You know, we can desire possessions and we can desire money. And it doesn't mean that we always have it. And it doesn't mean that but it's just the love of it. The goal to get it. It takes our focus and all our desires and our ambitions to go after those things. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Pretty obvious that the way we relate to our possessions and the way we relate to our finances we all have different talents. And if God has blessed you with the talent of accumulating and it comes fairly natural, I don't think God says that's wrong, but just to be careful, to be ready to be to be ready to distribute, to be unselfish with what God has blessed us with. And it can go through every area of life, to be unselfish and to be willing to give for the good of his kingdom. And we can go on into many different areas that we can think about, the different areas that we could be influenced by ungodly teaching. And I thought of, you know, raising families. You know, there's many different ways, many different books we can read about raising children. And it's not wrong to read those things. I think most of us have benefited from reading books like that. But really, does it meet the scriptural principles of raising families and of being the parents we should be? Do those books meet the criteria of different principles laid out in scripture for this type of our calling? If you have children and you have a home, do the books that influence us meet the criteria of scripture? And we could go on to other areas of counseling and so on. And it's a personal concern of mine that I realize there's counseling needs done at times. But where do we go for our counseling? Who do we associate with? Remember, those that we associate with, they have an effect on who we become. Do the ones we go to, do their lives match up to scripture? Are they divorced, remarried, for a very practical illustration? Do they meet the criteria of different teachings in scripture? Also, I was talking to someone a while ago about music issues, and you know, it was said that I just like this type of music. Well, I realize that may be true, but does the music draw me closer to God, or does it draw me farther away from God? How comfortable would I be listening to this type of music if Jesus was here with me? I think it's a very basic question and a question that we need to ask ourselves sometimes. Is it something that draws us closer? Remember, who we associate with and with what we associate with has an effect on who has an influence on us. Remember, the way in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 20, we're going to look at those verses. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 20, Jesus is speaking here. He's talking about the way that he has laid out for us to follow. In Matthew 7, verses 13 to 20, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." The warning against false teachers, the warning against those that do not live out the complete gospel of Christ. Second point I see in this Psalms is the person that is blessed loves the things of God. That was very evident as we read the Psalm, that his interest, his passion, his goals, his will, his motives are all controlled by what he enjoys. In verse 2 of Psalms 1, it talks about his delight is in the law of the Lord. Not just a couple minutes every morning of reading scripture, but his delight is there. That's where he loves to be. He thinks about it as he goes about his work. He thinks about it as he goes about his day. Maybe not in every moment, but throughout the day he has scriptures that come back to his mind. And he thinks about them. Psalms 128 verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Again, in Psalms 32, we've referred to that earlier, but the blessedness of our sins forgiven is, I believe, and the misery of hidden sin is referred to in Psalms 32. Psalms 119 verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." The third point from Psalms 1 is the person that is blessed by God gives evidence of where his affection is. And as I read this verse this Psalms for most of my life, I always had this mental picture of the verse here in verse 3 of this tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Is, you know, maybe over in, you see pictures of over in the around Israel of dry desert, and in the valleys there may be a river with a green strip of grass beside on both sides of it, with maybe a tree or so there that is benefiting from the water that it's finding there. But I'd like to look at this verse in a little more detail, and these verses in a little more detail. Number one is, this tree was planted. And we all know that when we plant something, that we plant it in places where we intend for it to grow. We intend for it to grow where we plant it. We place it where it's in the best, where we feel is the best position for it. We know what happens to a seed when we plant something. The seed dies so that the crop can grow. In this case, a tree. The seed that germinates produces a tree. And in John 12, verse 24, Jesus brought that out. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and abideth alone, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If a man serve me, him will my Father honor." So back to this thought of this tree by this river. You know, it was planted by the river. We know there's three things that you need for something to grow. One is water. One is the proper soil. And the one is obviously sunshine. And healthy soil, water, and sunshine. And many times in these eastern countries, they would irrigate. And this word river here has more of the thought of a stream or a ditch that comes off the main river, and that they would dig a ditch over to an area where they wanted to plant their whatever they had there, their crops, or in this case, a tree. And they would dig the canal over to where they wanted this to be planted. And they would use that ditch to water their crop. I had to think about that in relation to, it says, "And he shall be like a tree," this man that is blessed, this man that chooses the things of God, this man that delights in his law, delights in the word of God, this man is like this tree. And as this tree that was planted, this tree that was planted with intention, this place, this tree that was placed where the husbandman or the farmer had intended it to be planted. This tree would grow where it was planted because of where it was planted and the water that came and watered it. You know, it took effort for the farmer to dig that ditch over to where he wanted to grow his crop. The water that fed his crop was just a little bit of the water from the main stream, from the main irrigation canal. And I had to think about that as we think about this example, this illustration of a tree. It refers to those that follow God as a tree that bringeth forth his fruit. And God places people where he wants them. God places people where they will grow and prosper if they let their roots continue to be fed from the water from this stream. You know, we can't, and as I thought about that, it was a challenge to my life. Am I letting the water that God is coming down, as it were, the ditch into my life? And are my roots taking advantage of that water? And am I growing? Am I becoming that tree that is fruitful and that grows and that produces and gives a blessing to others? Am I that person that God can call blessed because of the way I respond to his sovereign will in my life? And are you the person that God can use to bless others? We think of a tree that as it grows, not only is it possible to give fruit, but it gives shade. It blesses others. It is a person that meets the needs of much more people than just himself. Jesus, when he spoke to the woman at the well, he talked about the water that he would give. And I always like this story in John 4. It talks about the woman at the well. And in verse 14, it talks about, and he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The everlasting water that Christ will feed his people with, the everlasting water that will never run out and that will always meet the needs of those, regardless of where you're planted and where God calls you, it will always be sufficient for our needs. In John 15, verses 1 through 11, I'm not going to look at that. But again, we have the illustration of a connection to, in this case, it's a connection to the vine, and how that we are to be the branches and to bring forth fruit and to be an example of the vine itself. In Psalms 1, verse 3, it says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, some people may have misinterpreted this as the health and wealth gospel. And it's not meaning that. But as we think about it connected to the vine, the things of God will prosper in our lives. We will be a blessing to others. We will benefit his kingdom as we yield ourselves to him. Our lives will become stable and fruitful and fulfilling. We think of a tree, we think of something that is that is not easily moved, and something that is stable and that is there for many years. The last two verses in Psalms 1, verses 4 and 5, gives the illustration, it gives the, or the last three verses, 4, 5, and 6. The ungodly are not sober, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It gives the extreme difference between those that are watered by the rivers of water, and the water from God's word. It gives the other example of those that go on their own wisdom and the wisdom of ungodly men. And it likens it to chaff. And we all know what chaff is. But as I look at these verses, my mental picture is in present day, in modern day, you know, we have machinery that harvests crops. And as you can visualize a combine going through the field, cutting off the grain, and taking that grain and sifting it through that machine, allowing that grain to go into its proper place. And as that machine moves through the field, the chaff and the dirt and so on comes out the back into a big cloud of dust. And as the wind blows, it just takes it to wherever it wants it to go. And that I believe that is part of the picture of what he is viewing as those that do not allow the word of Christ to, the water of God's word to stabilize them. They are unstable. They are individuals that lack direction. And if we look around the world around us, we see the results of that, of taking God out of people's lives and the unstableness that results from that. It seems like just in the last number of years, it's getting much worse. The challenge is, if we're to be blessed, if we're going to be the man that God calls blessed, we are the ones that are stable, that are rooted, that are unchanging and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. You know, the godly people know why they're here. They know there is a reason to live. They know there is a reason to serve and to be a witness in this life. James 1 verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The last verse in Psalms 1. It's a blessing to me to know that God knows where each of us is. He knows what we face. He knows the tests that come our way. He knows why we are where we are. And it is to simply blossom and to flourish and to be a blessing in his kingdom and for others. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And in Revelations 16, verse 15, here we have another verse that calls the person blessed. And in verse 15 of Revelation 16, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The responsibility of all of us to choose to choose the way that God can call blessed. And that is through, obviously through his blood and through his, through the ways that God calls blessed. And that is to give up ourselves and to surrender our lives to him and to have the forgiveness of our sins and to experience his forgiveness in our lives. I believe if our roots are deep in the water of God's word, if we take advantage of the blessings that we have and use this time of, and use the word of God to grow and to profit from it and to grow our lives, I believe the counsel of the ungodly and the influences of the world around us, sure, we will rub shoulders with them. Sure, we will have our times where we maybe are, could be influenced, but if we are sincere in our walk with him and our desire to have our, to be rooted and grounded in him, we will come out in a place where God can call us blessed. And that's my desire for all of us here in this church, that we would be that kind of church that God can call blessed and he would have his blessing on us. Let's kneel for prayer.